This is Bible teaching, folks. Bible teaching will straighten us out, folks. Real Bible teaching straightens us out. How many believe that? Yeah. Well, we've got a few people who believe it. Yeah. How many believe that Bible teaching will straighten things out? True Bible teaching. It really will, folks. It really will. Now watch. Come with me into the New Testament and let's look at some scriptures here that will help to straighten a couple of things out. Really bless us if we can take these scriptures on board. These will do us the power of good. Galatians 3:13, okay? Galatians 3:13, and it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now then, the interesting thing is, and we touched on it this morning, is that when Jesus was crucified, the capital punishment was stoning. The capital punishment in those days, the normal punishment for death penalty, was to be stoned. Why was it that Jesus was crucified? Ordinarily, it would have been stoning. We've got the answer in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21:23, it says this, Jesus hung and died on the cross. It says in Deuteronomy 21:23, he who is hanged is accursed of God. In other words, for Jesus to be accursed of God, he had to hang on a tree, hang on the cross. And he wanted to redeem us from every curse of the law. And that's why he went to the cross, having become a curse for us. Jesus took all our curses on the cross so that we can take all his blessings. Amen? It's good news. It's good news. Now listen, when someone says to you, well, hold on a sec now, you know, my father, he had a weak heart. And his father had a weak heart. And they've told me now, because I filled in the medical form, that I've probably got a weak heart and my life expectancy isn't as long as someone else. If they were to say that to you, you know what you can say? No, we don't accept that, because now I believe in Jesus. I believe in the cross event. And it says that by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. I won't take the bad and I won't exercise my faith in my father's bloodline, let's say, my natural father's bloodline, if that were you, if that were your situation with the heart, because I have now been redeemed by Jesus Christ. He became a curse for me that I may receive salvation. And all of the benefits of that salvation, which includes physical healing. That's why we've seen miracles. Listen, folks, let me put it like this to you. If you go into a church and there's no miracles, it's not a Christian church. No miracles, no Jesus. Intellectuals will be up in arms. Oh, up, you know, what a thing to say. Well, absolutely. Hey, we respected intellectuals, and we find out that the PhD theses that were written 20 years ago in many areas of science, take the brain, for example, they've all changed. They've all been proved to be wrong. So it was all wrong. All the theories have been wrong. I'm not going to respect them. I'm respecting what Jesus did, the man whose date is on the coin, the man who's influenced the history of the world. That's who I'm looking to. And my Bible says, by his stripes I'm healed. And if you exercise faith, you will receive from that faith. Faith receives. What does it say? In Matthew 21, 22, believe and receive. Believe and receive. And that's what God wants to get us into. Now, let me ask you this. If you're a Christian, God has given you a commission. You know, every Christian, everyone who's born again, Christianity is not about attending a church twice a week. You know, what's happened in the Western church is this. Christianity has become an add-on to life. So, you know, people, oh yeah, I became a Christian, yeah. And now, you know, I attend a church, it's twice a week. And you know, yeah, we do a bit of praying now and then. And, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You pray, you know, it's been good. I've enjoyed sometimes. Especially when the singing's been good. No, folks. Listen, Jesus came and showed us a way that ended in him at the cross, being buried and risen again, for us to live a radically different life. Radically different life. So that Christianity isn't something that's an addition to us. Christianity is us. We are Christians. The most important thing in my life is my faith, my Christianity. I want to do everything now for the benefit of his church. Everything for the... I don't have my life. It's not my life anymore. I remember midweek, we'd had about 3-4 different meetings going to this place, this place, this place, this place. It's 10:30 at night. I'm almost sleeping. It's not my life. And so we go to the next meeting. And what tremendous things happened in the next meeting. Miracles took place. You heard the testimony this morning. A woman from Pakistan whose arm was out like this. And they saw that arm like a balloon it was. And it just went down, healed by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Another lady who had a pin in her leg. She had a pin put in her leg. Now she's got a terrible back because she's walking with a limp all the time. And her back is twisted. And they filmed her leg growing out. That defies natural laws. Well, you know, that's the God we serve. Hey, that's nothing. We've had cancer. People with terminal cancer healed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. They ban that. You're not allowed to say that type of thing, but that's what the medical reports. People have been changed by God. People who can't hear, now they can hear. They say, well, there must have been something strange has happened. They can't understand it. It's God, it's Jesus. But you see, what's happened to the church so often is, we're following the wrong traditions. We're not having expectancy. We're not placing an expectancy of faith on him. We're saying, well, believe and receive. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, well, you know, I'll pray now and then. No, every day, every moment, for everything, let me exercise faith. I want to believe him for everything and say, Lord, show me how I should live my life. What should I do next? All things are possible. And that's what God has got in store for us. Let me show you this. Watch this. John 6:28. It says in John 6:28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's the work of God. You know, if you ask people, what must you do to work the works of God? Religion has told people, you've got to pray, you've got to fast. If you don't pray and fast, you're not really doing a good job. I've been to churches, they prayed and fasted for a week. They pray and fast for a week, you know. Why? I say, why do you want to pray and fast for a week? Oh, we're getting close to God. We've got to be close. There's a conference coming up, we've got to be close to God. Oh, you know... they pray and fast for a week, or else they're doing extra special studies in the Word. You know, they're all manner of things people come up with to try and get close to God, punishing themselves. The truth is, to get close to God and do the works of God, that's all we need to do, according to this verse, is to believe. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Just believe. The greatest doing is in believing in Jesus who was sent, who did it all for us at the cross, where the great exchange took place. And you may be asking, what must I do to receive my healing? The answer is this: believe. Believe in Jesus, who took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, according to Matthew 8:17. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You know, we've seen people delivered from all manner of sickness and disease. And that's what God has called us to live for as a church. Every curse has been destroyed by this. There's a place close by, you know, and it's a place where people go and they get prayed for, and the prayer lasts for days sometimes. The people go and pray and fast, and they have exorcisms, they say. And they pray and they fast, and then they're going through generational curses, all manner of things they're going through. But the truth of the matter is, the power is in the gospel, and the curse has been broken by Jesus. He broke the curse. There's no generational curses. Doesn't exist. No, if we believe in Jesus, His blood washes us clean. We're cleansed and we're clean, and any curse has been broken, cut off. There's no such thing as that now for us. And so we're free to live His abundant life. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You. You know, God justifies the ungodly. This is another thing that people feel far away from God. They don't believe in speaking to mountains or believe God for things because they don't feel justified. Most people in Christianity really feel guilty, and they live their lives in guilt and condemnation. They don't feel as if they've earned quite enough for God to be bothered with them. But I'll tell you tonight, and this is the absolute truth, God has done it all at the cross. You are justified not because of your works, not because of how often you pray, not because of how much Bible study you've done. You're justified through one thing alone, and that thing is belief in what Jesus did on the cross. It's justification by faith alone. It's faith alone that counts. If you believe in what Jesus did at the cross, you are justified, brothers and sisters. And why is that so important to get on board? Because once you know that it's faith that justifies you, you can start living with expectancy. And you can shake off condemnation. One of the names for the enemy is the accuser of the saints. And he goes up to Christians. He says, you're not good enough. You haven't done enough. No, you haven't studied. Well, you think you can be used to do miracles? You're having a joke. You can't be used to do miracles. You can't be used because you haven't studied enough. No, and look what you did last week. You see what you did? You think God's going to use you? That's how the enemy works. Now, see, we need to get wise to that and say, no. I'm not looking to myself for justification. I don't try and justify myself by who I am or what I've done or anything else. I look one place only for my justification, and it's to the man called Jesus of Nazareth. He justified me. He justified me. His name's Jesus. He's the one who did it. That's why I'm so happy. That's why when I come to church on Sunday night, I want to sing. I got life. Because I know that He justified me. I didn't deserve anything. That's all I had to do was believe. And he's done exactly the same for you. And what happens is, when we do what Romans 12:2 suggests and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we understand justification by faith, instead of walking with a guilt complex and feeling guilty all the time and feeling like we're not very good Christians, we're just useless, we feel really condemned, we're not very good, I'm not up to much, and I just feel like I'm just, you know, worthless and I'm no good. Instead of walking like that, we know that we've been justified by faith, we've been transformed in our thinking, and now, I'm walking a bit different. I'm justified. Well, don't look down at me. No, don't you dare look down at me. I've been justified by Jesus Christ. I've been justified by the man who hung on the cross. And if you look at me and my earthliness, you will find plenty of faults. I mean, look at my taste in shoes. You look at me, you're going to find plenty of faults. You've noticed them already. He didn't like to say anything. Kind man. You know, you look at me, you'll find plenty of faults. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, my wife will tell you. I'm prone to weakness. Get frustrated. All manner of things. But I tell you what, I'm learning that it's not about me. I'm not the focus. Jesus is the focus. And I like that, because when the miracle happened the other day, for example, actually a few miracles happened. When people look at you, you know, that you see, you pray and the arm shrinks down before their very eyes. I mean, a swollen, and it's big swollen, and it shrinks down before their eyes. And they go, oh. And then they look at you like you're some, you know, oh, mighty man of God. No, mighty Jesus. As it says in the book of Acts, don't look at me as if by my power anything's been done, but look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Amen. And so it's nice we can point to Jesus. Give Jesus all the glory. Give Jesus all the praise. So it's good when things are going your way and people think you've done a good job, but it's also nice when you've done a bad job and you've messed up. Instead of looking to yourself, don't do it. Train yourself not to look at yourself if things go good. So if things go good, I won't look at myself. I know it's not me. I live with me. I really know. And I won't look at myself when it goes bad either. And that's good news, because I was prone to depression. I was prone to depression, feeling down and defeated, because I felt so condemned. And then I got a hold of justification by faith. You know who else got a hold of justification by faith? Anyone think of the most famous man who got a hold of justification by faith? A man called Martin Luther. Martin Luther, he got hold of justification by faith, didn't he? Justification by faith. And we had the Reformation as a result. Solo fide. Faith alone. Romans 4:5, as we are closing, getting ready to close here and getting people to think about how to respond. Romans 4:5 says this, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, everyone say that word, faith. His faith is accounted for righteousness. I'm righteous before God. Now, put your hands up, please. I want all the righteous people in the congregation, just put your hands up. I want to see who's righteous here tonight. Oh, I like it. Hey, we're getting somewhere. Why are you righteous? Because you have faith. But to him who does not work, in other words, does not work means does not work for righteousness. You see, in the book of Romans, Paul was comparing the New Testament to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, it was the works of the law. It was do this, don't do this, eat this, don't eat this, wash your hands like this, do this. And all those works of the law built up to a system of living. And people could never make the mark. And so they had a sacrifice system. And the sacrificial system that was of the Old Testament needed a lot of work. There was a plenty of work to do that. And the priest would offer the sacrifice. The priest offers the sacrifice, and then everything is okay. Sins have been atoned for. But watch this. In the New Testament, there's none of that. In the New Testament, the solid is faith. It's faith alone. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, he justifies the ungodly. His faith is accounted for righteousness. If you believe that Jesus died for you, and you believe that Jesus died for you, and your sins have been forgiven through what he did on the cross, he makes you righteous. Hallelujah. You are righteous. You should walk righteous. You should know that you're righteous. You should talk like you're righteous. But that will take a shift in the mind. A shift in the mindset. Because for most people who attend churches, they don't feel righteous. They don't talk righteous. They don't really believe like the righteous. You see, when someone is righteous and they know that they're righteous, they have confidence in their prayers. See, if you pray a prayer and you're not confident and there's no faith in it, you don't receive from the prayer. But if you can pray a prayer with confidence and faith, then you can receive from that prayer. So if you're condemned and you feel condemned, self-condemned, there's not going to be confidence in your prayer. There's no power in that prayer. You're self-condemning. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling like you're not worthy. You're feeling like there's no confidence in it. There's no faith in that. But if you say, well, I will let the word of God shape me. I'm righteous. I am righteous through faith and faith alone. And get that into your thinking, then you can walk with confidence. Knowing that God isn't upset with you. God's not looking at you and saying, look, you've messed up again. You've messed up again. Samuel, with me, we have a little game that we play. And we park the little cars. Gets his box of cars out. And we put the cars, and he goes first. He always goes first. And he's only 2 years old. And he parks his car, and then I pick one, and I park it. And then he picks the next one, and he parks it. And we go on like this till all the cars are parked. But you know, sometimes he have a tantrum with me because I won't do it the right way. I don't know what he's thinking. But I mess it up. And he has a tantrum with me. And I've told him, don't have a tantrum. We do it properly. But he has a tantrum, and then he says, sorry, Daddy, and I forgive him. And the next day, he'll do the same thing. And he'll have another tantrum. What do you think I do? You think I say, well, I told you yesterday, and that's it now. You think I'd do that to him? Never. I say, he says, "I'm sorry, Daddy." I say, "You're a lovely little boy. It's all right. It's okay. I'm not holding it against him. And God's not holding it against you. God's not holding it against you. He's not holding it against you at all. He's for you. He's absolutely for you. And he doesn't, it doesn't matter that you've messed up. Now, he doesn't want you to mess up. He's not promoting that you mess up. But if you mess up, he's not going to hold it against you. If you've got faith, he's not holding it against you. He loves you. He wants to set you right and set you on your way. Amen? Amen. That's the kind of God we serve, folks. That's the kind of God that we've got to get it into our thinking. We've got to start thinking right. Look, the New Testament says like this, Matthew 21:22, that we've quoted earlier, "Believe and you'll receive." Let me tell you something. I know someone who believed, and they spoke out their belief, but it wasn't a good thing. They said, I just know I'm going to die young. And they said, "I just know that I'm going to be sick." And they kept on confessing it and confessing it and confessing it. For no reason, I think they went to have their hand read in one of these places, this type of place that does this. And something was said, and I think that got into their mind. And what had happened was their believing and their confession was based on that information. And they went through their life for many years believing and confessing that information. You know what happened? They got what they were believing for. So it can happen in both ways. We've got an imagination, and God gave us an imagination to use to the end that faith would be used. And faith and the creative power of the imagination used for God's purposes. But he's given us free will. And we can use the imagination for God's purposes or for satanic, wrong thinking purposes. But either way, the choice is ours, and either way we'll receive from what we've believed. So if you're believing wrong, you will receive that which you don't want to receive. Believe and you'll receive. But if you believe right, you can receive that which you want to receive. Because God's for you. God loves you. And God has nothing but good plans for you and good intentions. The question is, will we truly believe what he's saying? Boldness is what God wants you to have when you come to him. He doesn't want you to be afraid to come to him. He doesn't want you feeling unworthy because of your sins. He wants you to come boldly to him, knowing that the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus has justified you and qualified you boldly to receive from him. You know, that was the kind of boldness that the woman with the issue of blood had when she touched Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. By touching Jesus, she knew she was breaking the Levitical law, which states that anyone with a discharge is unclean and should not even appear in public, let alone touch another person, let alone touch a rabbi, let alone touch a famous rabbi. But what did she have? She had boldness in what she decided to do. Why did she have boldness? Because she knew that the Son of Man comes with healing in his wings. She knew she touched the edge of his garment. The tallit has edges of its garment. It has the same word, wings. She knew if she touched the edge of those wings, she'd be healed. I believe that she had the Rhema word of God. There's the Logos word, the written word. There's the Rhema word that God speaks to someone. She had the Rhema word of God, which was based on the Logos word. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. See, she had confidence. She knew. God wants us to walk like that, with confidence and knowing. What was it about her faith that made her well? Well, Romans 4:5 says, faith that believes God justifies the ungodly. When you believe that God justifies the ungodly, it gives you boldness to come to God. You don't need to be godly before God justifies you. No, he justifies the ungodly. And that will give you boldness to come to God, even when you feel unclean because you've just messed up in an area. Hallelujah. Nothing about Christianity and faith is based on us. Nothing is based on us. It's all based on the finished work. That's why, you remember he said, it is finished. Complete. Nothing needs to be added to it. It's a done deal. We just got to believe it and live in it. Hallelujah. When you fail then, and I'm closing now, and I want this to be, please, in everyone's mind, just as we close here this evening. When you fail, you mess up in life, don't run away from God. Run boldly to God. So if you mess up and you know you've really messed something up in life, don't run away and hide from God. Don't say, I want to stay away from God. I want to stay away from church. I don't want to go to those church folks. I don't want to see them. Don't run away. Run to God. Run to God, knowing that you are justified by the blood of Christ and not your good behavior. And that's the way that a good habit begins to be formed. The bad habit, the mess up, the circle of defeat, if you like, is you feel good praising God. You mess up in life. Now you feel condemned and frustrated. Then you finally get yourself back to church. You feel okay. You feel great. You mess up. You feel frustrated. You feel condemned. Oh, back to church again. It's great once again. You mess up. And it's a circle of defeat. But Jesus is saying, listen, I've finished it and created a circle of victory, an abundant life. And in order to live in it, that's all you're going to do is say, when you mess up, it goes, you feel great, you're praising God. When you mess up there, instead of going into depression, go back and praise God. Because the truth of the scripture is it doesn't matter in terms of it affecting your position in God. He loves you. He's forgiven you, and he's made you fit for heaven and his righteousness. And instead of feeling condemned and guilty, say, no, praise God, hallelujah. And what will happen is, instead of living in a circle of defeat, you start to live in a circle of victory. Is it making any sense to anyone? And so just as we end here, think on this. The devil may say to you, how can you do that? Who do you think you are? You can't do that. You've got to feel down and sad and really bad about your terrible behavior. Don't listen to him. Run to Jesus. I'm not looking to myself. I'm looking at Jesus. Pick yourself up. By God's grace, thank God for the blood and the gift of no condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1, is no condemnation. If God justifies the ungodly, how much does he justify you, the child that he loves? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You say, I can't believe this, Pastor, I can't believe what he's saying. Does God really love me so much? Yes, and far much more than I can describe in words. Oh, hallelujah. He loves you so much. He loves us so much. And he's calling us to live in victory. And it begins by recognizing who we are in him and his righteousness. Praise God. Listen, as we come up, and we think of closing this service, I just want to invite people to respond. Everything that would have you running away from God, listen, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in his sacrifice on the cross, you believe that his blood has cleansed you and washed you, then just respond to him. Let's all stand, shall we? And let's sing Only Believe. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand before you this evening. We ask you, Father God, for this. We ask you, Lord, that your will be done in our lives. We want to live our lives close to you. We want to yield our lives to you. We want your will to be done in our lives. And we want to be all that you've called us to be. We want to be the people who are yielded to you, molded by you. And we know that the first step is recognizing that we are justified entirely by faith, not by our works. And so, Father God, tonight, we yield to you. And we recognize that we are justified by faith alone, not by works. And so, Father, have your way with us. And I ask that everyone just close their eyes so that everyone responds as an individual. God wants us to respond as individuals to him. And respond to him by saying, these words. You can pray these words out with me if you will. Heavenly Father, I respond to you this evening and your rich love towards me. Thank you that I'm justified by faith.
Thank you that I'm justified by faith.
Faith alone. I come to you now in faith, with no condemnation. For the sins in my life, I am truly sorry. But I won't be weighed down by them. Because I'm justified by faith.
Because I am justified by faith.
Faith alone.
Help me live
in the fullness
of your victory.
I choose abundant life. I choose to live in your victory. In Jesus' wonderful name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.